Let's get into the Word of God, because this is a word from the Lord that we're in the series, Breaking Free. It's a word released by God. God does not release words out of boredom. God releases words because He knows better than we do what we have need of, and He's a God of order, so He desires to bring order where there's been chaos and disruption. Father, we thank You this morning for Your Word. Thank You for all You're doing, and this is really just the beginning. Lord, even last week was just the beginning, and we thank You for the power of Your released Word. It carries great authority and backing. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're continuing on with the theme of breaking free, which Brother Lance Lang and Sister Gretchen did a great job last week, just pulling back the curtain on addiction and flesh patterns that try to easily beset us. Let's go into the Word of God, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, NIV. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So what's your divine design then? Freedom. Freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Amen, somebody. Don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You're not made for it. Galatians 5:13, NIV, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh, but rather serve one another humbly in love. John 8:36, Jesus said, therefore, if the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Now, if you made yourself free, you're going to be up and down. You're only free when you perform well. But if Christ has set you free, you're free even on the days you didn't participate with your freedom. Amen. Amen? You don't determine whether you're free or not. Your actions just reveal whether you believe you're free or not, and whether you participate with the freedom you've already been given. Because if Christ has set us free, then we are really free. And now we're learning to walk in the reality of our freedom. Just like Acts chapter 12, the angel did all the work, but he would not carry Peter out of the prison without his own effort. He asked Peter, get up, put your shoes on, put your garment on, and follow me out. We have a price to pay, and it's not to break off all the chains and turn on the light in the darkness. That's not your job. Your job is to get up and walk out as a free man or a free woman in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get this thing. 2 Corinthians 3:17, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is lording, where He is in charge, there is liberty for human beings. 1 Corinthians 6:12, NIV, I have the right to do anything, you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but I'll not be mastered by anything. You are not designed to be mastered by sin. You're not designed to be mastered by your circumstances. You're not designed to be mastered by fear, which leads to control and anger. Amen. God created you to rule over the earth and subdue. You're the head, not the tail. We do not thrive. We're not comfortable in losing all the time. How many times you ever heard somebody say, man, I love following that football team because they lose all the time. Nobody's ever said that. Romans 6:22, New American Standard. But now, having been freed from sin, having been freed from sin. Everybody say, I am free. Say it one more time. I am free. Now tell the devil, I am free. Having been freed from sin and enslaved to God. Boy, I feel the Holy Spirit here this morning. Glory to God. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you derive your benefit. It's sanctification and the outcome, eternal life. Sanctification, the process whereby we become more and more like Christ in our actions, in our attitudes. God has never willed for any of us to be in bondage or mastered by anything but to live free and victorious in Christ. That is our design. We're made in God's image. And so, being mastered by circumstances or sin is not part of our divine design. As I mentioned, you're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. You are not comfortable being subdued by addiction or flesh patterns. You don't thrive there. You don't want to be there. Amen. So today, whether you're the one who is battling addiction or you're the one who has a loved one who's battling it and you felt the effects of it. How many of you know family members get wounded by people mastered by addiction? So whichever one of those you are, I want you to know I release the anointing of courage upon you this day to fight the good fight of faith, to get up again. Amen. I release the anointing of hope on you that your soul would be anchored once again in Christ, not shifting here and there, but anchored in Christ. I release the anointing of strength upon you to not grow weary in well-doing, for you will reap if you faint not. I release the anointing of the overcomer upon you that you're reminded again, greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. And I loose that anointing upon you here this day to live as a free child, a free mom, a free father, a free son, a free daughter. How about this? I loose the anointing of vision upon you once again, because vision begets discipline. Vision produces discipline and self-control, which is a fruit of the Spirit. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people cast off restraint. They become undisciplined. I loose upon you once again vision, which comes from hope again and strength. Amen. We're not going to live victoriously. We're not going to stay free and walk in the reality of our freedom without discipline and the fruit of the Spirit being self-control. Let me say this to you. Your spirit man does not want to sin. If you're born again, your spirit man knows what sin is and wants nothing to do with it. Your soul and your body, though, can be tempted and lured that way. They have to be submitted to the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen? You don't have to submit your spirit. Your spirit knows. The real you knows what sin is and has power over it. But our soul and our body, our thought life, we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We submit our soulish man and our body to the Spirit. If your struggle is purely chemical in the way of addiction, I'm praying for you that God remake you chemically throughout your body. If it's chemical, it's got nothing to do with emotions or unrenewed mind or any of that stuff, and it's purely chemical, I'm praying for you that God replace that chemical that belongs in your body so you are not subject to addictive behavior. We invite the Holy Spirit this morning to smash through every gate that hell throws up. Why? Because that's what the church does. According to Matthew 16, Jesus said, the church that I'm building, and we're all part of the church Christ is building. Amen? What do? We smash through every gate that hell throws up. Gates do not attack people. Gates are not offensive. Gates lock people out of their destiny. They lock people, deceive people out of seeing the truth. Touch your neighbor and say, we're smashing through. And what do we know when we see people being set free by the Spirit of God? What do we know when we see the devil losing? Jesus said, the kingdom of God is in your midst. The rule and the authority of God Almighty is in your midst when you see the devil taking a beating. So we're going to get this out in the open, whether it's drug addiction, alcohol addiction, addiction to control, controlling people, controlling circumstances, which the Lord spoke through Jody is rooted in fear. That's absolutely true. Absolutely true. And we got to get to root, not just fruit. Talk about that more. How about addicted to manipulation and manipulating people and circumstances? Anger. How about pornography? You'd be stunned at the statistics in regard to this country in the way of pornography and internet addiction. The Lord said that healing won't just happen here on a Sunday morning. Most of it will happen out there. In your small groups, in your community, in your spiritual family, discovery groups, etc. That's where healing's going to happen, because healing rarely happens in isolation. Now, God can begin a good work. He can absolutely set you free, but get you an accountability partner. Get some spiritual family that'll walk this out with you and hold you accountable because they love you. Amen. Get some kingdom comrades, I call them. Kingdom comrades. But, Brother Steve, if I share with somebody what my struggle is, what my flesh pattern is, what tries to master me at times, then they'll know I'm not perfect. We already know. You're not perfect, all right? So be delivered and set free from that idea.
Amen.
People will know I struggle. We all struggle. I like what Lance said last week. We all have crazy in our closet. You ever do something and think, how in the world did I do that? Was that really me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We all got crazy. Touch your neighbor and say, we all got crazy in our closet. Honesty breaks the tyranny of sin. Listen to me. Honesty breaks the tyranny of sin. Those habits, those flesh patterns live in the dark. Go ahead and get them out. Go ahead and get them out. Nobody's going to think less of you because you have a flesh pattern. I firmly believe people who are advancing God's kingdom have all kinds of crazy assignments that come against them. So if the devil's not messing with you, you might check yourself. Just a thought. Honesty breaks the tyranny of sin. Humility attracts the grace of God. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. As we humble ourselves, we acknowledge before God and someone else, I struggle here. Would you help me? Would you pray for me? That attracts the grace of your Father. The power of God. Yeah. Honesty slays fear every time. When you're afraid, you think, what are people going to think? Just be honest. It'll slay fear immediately. And if they want to breathe all the breath out of the room and run away and tell everybody, that's on them. That's not on you. And I will give you this. Let me give you some advice. I wouldn't share your heart and your inner struggles with somebody who says they don't have any. Because you know what? That is their struggle right there. Pride and self-righteousness. The only righteousness even being produced in a believer comes from Christ the vine. It's not even us producing it. We're just revealing it. He's the source of righteousness. How could we boast in that? So let's let the Holy Spirit go after our enemies. We war not with flesh and blood. Come on. Your war is not with people. Stop blaming somebody else for your bad attitude. And let's start figuring out, Lord, why does this attitude and emotion manifest in me around that person? That you're not warring with them. Woo! Come on, Holy Ghost. Come on, Holy Ghost. Speak to the church. Talk to us. We're open, amen? That's just the blame game. It's immaturity. Let me blame everybody else for why I'm being the way I'm being. Immaturity. So we're going to let the enemy go at, or the Holy Spirit go after our enemies at the root, not fruit. Dwayne Sheriff has been my pastor since 2004, 2005. Dwayne Sheriff had an uncle, a favorite uncle. And nobody ever told Dwayne when he was growing up why this uncle was never sober. But he loved that uncle, and he died at a very early, early age. And it wasn't until years after his favorite uncle died, and he was kind of, you know, the black sheep and all that stuff, because he had such an alcohol problem. He was drunk all the time. Nobody told him till years later why he took up alcoholism. And on the same day, Dwayne found out later, on the same day, his wife left him, his uncle. His wife filed for divorce the same day and aborted their child all in the same day. And his uncle took up alcohol at that point. I mean, now, how many of you can see? Alcohol is a fruit of an inward pain and what he believed about himself, that he was a failure. He believed he was a failure. He'd lost his family, he lost his wife, he lost that child. And he's simply medicating an inward pain. How many of you know what sterno is? Sterno is what you light underneath, you know, to keep food warm. His uncle was so deprived, so injured, he would drain it through a t-shirt and drink sterno. It killed him. But we could have cast the demon of alcohol out of him all day long. That wasn't the root. The root was his own rejection and feeling like he was a failure. He believed a lie that he was a failure because he lost his family. If knowing the truth sets a man free, believing a lie will put him in bondage and kill him. The image of God written into you and me is to agree with the truth and walk in truth. And truth exists, thank God, beyond what happens to me in the natural realm. Somebody give him praise this morning. There was a woman, a fine woman, godly woman, at a church. Wasn't this one? But her husband left her for a younger woman. And she took up alcohol and drinking, drank like a fish. That church, they laid hands on her, they put oil on her, they cast the demon of alcohol. 10 years, she couldn't beat it. Traveling evangelist came through one day, visited the church, and as she came forward for prayer, he began to ask her, what was going on in your life when the alcohol started? Tell me what was happening. She said, my husband left me for a younger woman. He began to address and invite the Lord to come heal the spirit of rejection that had rooted itself inside of her emotions and her mind. And she was immediately delivered of alcohol. Never touched it again. Never touched it again. So much of addiction is medication of inward pain. Our government is famous for treating and throwing money at fruit when we got to get to the root. And I don't expect the government to figure it out. I expect you and I to do it. Amen. Go ahead and give him praise in the house of God. So for the next couple of months, we're going after root, not fruit. And I implore you by the Spirit of Christ, allow him to get into the depth of your heart. Lord, why am I susceptible to this flesh pattern? Why am I susceptible to this particular behavior or attitude? I think I put it on the screen. Let's see. Yep. Why? Ask the Lord, not just yourself. Get you a kingdom comrade who will jump in there with you, who can hold you accountable and speak truth to you. Lord, why am I susceptible to this? And listen, if you have a loved one addicted, please do this. Please ask why. Why are they susceptible to it? I know you get mad that they stole from you. I know you get mad. Ladies, you got up in the middle of the night and he was looking at pornography again. I know you get mad, but would you just please ask, Lord, why does the enemy have his talons in him regarding this? Well, we want to get mad. You can get angry all day long, but the Bible says that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You can shame him, you can guilt him, you can be angry, you can put him on the couch, you can do all that stuff, and all you're doing is dealing with fruit. Yeah, and Annie said, making it worse, I'm quite sure the enemy will tell him she doesn't love you. You see how she's not for you? Just go back to the computer. Go check out. All that is a vacation from reality. That's what that is. If you're addicted to control, ask yourself, Lord, why do I try to always run in and believe I have to fix everything? Well, am I believing the lie that God can't take care of me? Am I believing the lie that God can't look after me and I have to do it myself? How about this? If you struggle with control, did somebody take control from you when you were 5 years old, 7 years old? Somebody you trusted. I don't have to spell it out, do I? You know what I'm talking about. Somebody takes control from a little child, they're going to struggle wanting to gain control and feel safe. I know a woman who was in this church many years, a great blessing here, and then the Lord sowed her into Texas because Texas needs the kingdom. As a little girl, she was molested by her uncle, and she took up eating as much as she could so that no man would ever look at her pretty again. We think we know. We don't know. We don't know. And that's why we can't go around always, you know, jumping on the fruit of somebody's behavior. Let's get to the root if we really care. It takes so much more love, so much more time, so much more compassion to say, how can I help you? Amen. And if it shouldn't live in a bar more than it lives in the church. Man, The Holy Ghost is preaching this morning. I don't know where Steve went, but if you're addicted to pornography, is the root of it, Lord, why? Is the root of it that you don't believe your wife values you or desires you? And so you turn to these images or videos or whatever where somebody's being paid a whole lot of money to act like they value you. It's all a mirage. But what's the root of it? Talk to each other about it. Help each other. Help me. Come on, amen. How do we get healed? Well, he sent his word to heal us. The truth will set us free. A lie, believing a lie will put me in bondage. God can't take care of me, or I'm not lovely, I'm not lovable. So believing a lie will set us into bondage, but truth will set us free. And here's a good practical note I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Write down the lie you're believing on the left. When you ask the Lord, why am I susceptible to this addictive behavior? Write it down over here, what it's rooted in. Well, I don't believe God will take care of me. And then over here on the right, write the truth. Amen. God is absolutely trustworthy. And then find all the scriptures that talk about us trusting in the Lord. Amen. The next couple of months, as we pull back the curtain and talk about addiction, we talk about flesh patterns, I want you to know God didn't release this mandate for us to do this and partner with Hope is Alive and others to bring shame or condemnation. We're not pulling back the curtain so anybody here feels ashamed or condemned. Lance kind of danced around it last week, but if you look at John chapter 8 with a woman caught in adultery, he told her, "You have no accusers. There is, neither do I condemn you." He could have. Of all the crowd, Jesus could have condemned her. He was without sin. But he said, "I don't condemn you. The power to go sin no more comes from knowing there are no accusers and you're not condemned by God." Amen. Come on, amen. We got to get back to this. People already feel ashamed and condemned by the addiction. They don't need to get it from us. They need to get healing and hope from us. Wow, amen. I loved what Lance said, and I encourage you to write it down. It stuck with me. God loves you right now, not some future improved version of you. God loves you right now. So he's going to walk this through. I can't explain it enough. When God releases a mandate to this church and says, "I want you to pull back the curtain on addiction. Let's do a series, Breaking Free." When he does that, it's because he loves you. And he wants to help you. Not for condemnation, not for guilt, not for shame, none of those things. Thank God, he's a loving father. You need to know there's a war going on. We pull back the curtain and we talk about it. We get that out in the open because Matthew 11:12 says the kingdom of God suffers opposition. But the violent take it by force. We're not backing down. Hebrews 10, we're not of those who back down to our own destruction. We're advancing. We're maturing. We're progressing in Christ. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be vigilant. The devil can't whip you when you're sober. The devil goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Why am I sharing this with you? Jesus acknowledged we have an enemy. Jesus spoke to the devil. Jesus rebuked the devil. And Jesus cast out demons. So don't think for a second you don't have an enemy. Now here's the beauty of it. We all have a common enemy. And the sooner we figure that out, the better. We can actually have peace with each other once we recognize that and quit taking these jabs at each other personally. When a husband and wife sit down and recognize, you know what, we have a common enemy when pornography comes against our house. We have a common enemy. And they sit down together, they'll start fighting for each other instead of with each other. Amen. Amen. Can you imagine a church that gets a hold of this and fights for each other instead of with each other? All based on one revelation that we have a common enemy. We don't war against flesh and blood. There's somebody against you that's against me. That's our commonality. Let's sit down. Let's don't give him an opportunity. Woo, hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, let it be so. Let it be a manifested word in our marriages, our homes, Lord, our families, and in this church. Let it be a revelatory word, a now word, Lord, just birth it in our spirit right now that we can walk it out. And Lord, not just us, but with other churches as well. Lord, we don't have enemies with other churches. We have a common enemy. We're not against them. We're not competing with them. Glory to God. Glory to God. What God has joined together, let no man, let no lie, let no emotion put it asunder. Woo! Let no hurting spirit put it asunder. Hallelujah. Yeah, grow us up, Lord. We want to live beyond a nursery, Lord. We do. We want to live beyond a nursery. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now clap your hands if you believe that. Let it be done. Let it be established. Hallelujah. Boy, I feel the Spirit of God this morning. I feel like we could run through a troop and jump over a wall this morning. All I need is a troop and a wall. Glory to God. Anytime you have a church family who actually not just seeks the kingdom first, but sees the kingdom, invites the kingdom to break through. Anytime you have a church family like that who wants to see God set at liberty every captive, you realize Luke 4 is our job description. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me to preach good news to the poor, bind up the brokenhearted, heal the sick, raise the dead. The Spirit of the living God is upon us to do that. And it is fun. Vibrant living. So anytime you have a church, its desire is to help others overcome. Yeah, we want you to overcome, but everything he's getting to you, I guarantee you he wants to get it through you. I guarantee you he wants it to have generational impact. I guarantee you he wants it to impact your neighborhood. Yep. And so you have a church that sees the kingdom, operates in the kingdom, understands the mandate of the kingdom. We're going to have a bullseye on our back. So let's don't ever lose sight. We have a common enemy. He would love for us to nitpick each other. He would love for us to get offended at each other. But how can you be offended if you're dead? I've never seen a dead man at a funeral offended. Never. So we're crucified with Christ. Our only life is in him now. So we're brothers and sisters. Amen. The enemy wants us, as the body of Christ, to continue to stick our head in the sand, believe the devil doesn't even exist. And does he get too much credit? Oh, yeah. And too much blame? Yeah. He's not omnipresent. But if you don't think the kingdom of darkness is real, you haven't read Scripture. You haven't heard Jesus talk. Any kingdom, even the devil's, right? Beelzebub casts out Beelzebub. He acknowledged the existence of Satan and that kingdom, a spiritual kingdom. So I'll say again, there is a war going on. When Paul said in Ephesians 6, we war not against flesh and blood, he didn't say there is no war. He said, though we live in fleshly realm, we don't war there. Man, if we can just get that today. And understand that people have an enemy who's trying to gain a landing pad in them through addiction, through flesh pattern, to destroy their lives, right? Steal, kill, and destroy. The good news is every foe we face is a defeated foe. Think about that. Thank you, Glenn. Every foe you face is an already defeated foe by the hand of Jesus Christ. Now let's all give him praise for that. Every foe is a defeated foe. Brother Gavin, you guys can come. So knowing you're God's kingdom ambassador, knowing you're equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit, knowing you're the righteousness of God, knowing you're the head, not the tail, is it any wonder the devil doesn't like you very much? Any wonder he attacks you, your family, your self-worth, your health, your faith, your children, your finances, your relatives, your business, or your spouse? So meditate. Everybody say meditate. Meditate. Meditate daily on the truth. Get yourself acquainted with the truth. Get some kingdom comrades around you who pour truth into you, who don't feed your grudges, but point you towards wholeness. Amen. Receive what God says about you. Receive it. No matter how good it is, receive it. Say the words aloud. Say them to yourself and say them to the enemy. Say the truth to whoever will listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. We need to hear God's word on who we are. Apply the truth to yourself. Why? Because knowing the truth sets us free. Believing a lie sets us into bondage. Apply the truth to yourself. You say, preacher, how do you do it? I'm glad you asked. Participate with the truth by thanking him for it. It sounds like this. Father, I thank you. I'm loved by you. Father, I thank you. All of my sins are forgiven in Christ. Father, I thank you that all of me is covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you. I'm a kingdom ambassador, that you made me that. Father, I thank you. That's how you participate with truth. The moment you thank someone for it, you say you have it. If you're thanking him for it, you have it. Amen. Stand with me. One of the great enemies of our faith is misinformation. And the enemy will try to deceive you and knock you off of the truth. Well, I don't know. Let's just bow our heads in his presence. Can we open our hands? Come on. The Holy Spirit is here. Let's just invite him. Lord, we invite you. Breakthrough. Breakthrough in every area. Breakthrough every area. Lord, crush every lie. Don't you listen to the enemy say you'll never be free of that. That's a lie. It's a lie when he says you'll always be that way. It's been in your family for years. That's a lie. Misinformation is the greatest enemy of your faith and your belief in the truth. Father, just wash over your church here this morning. Come on, let him fill you fresh with the Holy Spirit. Let him endue you with power, and let him fill you with hope this morning. The anchor of your soul. Take a moment and invite him into the areas you know that you struggle. Invite him in. Lord, be Lord in this area. Lord, be Lord of my mouth. Lord, be Lord of my thought life. Lord, be Lord of my computer. Lord, be Lord of my eyes. Come on, invite him in. Everybody in this room, let's do it together. Let's invite him to be Lord by the Spirit, by his word, over every venue. You know the flesh patterns. Father, thank you. There's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. You release this word, Lord, because you know what we need. Glory to God. Set at liberty every captive. Bring them to the truth, the reality of their freedom. Father, no longer will we have to pray, please set us free. Now we can pray, I thank you, I am free. I thank you that I am free. And I participate with the freedom I have in your Holy Spirit.
You've been listening to Grace Church, advancing God's kingdom, one heart at a time. For more, visit us online at gracechurch.community.